It's the Two Smokes Podcast with your hosts, Thundersnow and the Wiggle Rat.
Hi, and welcome back to Two Smokes Podcast. I am the Wiggle Rat, and across from me is Thundersnow. And you people are shit at arguing on the internet.
You are, indeed.
And since everyone has been so tense and so ass mad and so uptight about this whole election thing, normally what we do is the more serious the news of the day has been, the more levity we try to inject into the conversation.
Exactly.
We'll take less serious topics on that. And so what we want to do today... is we wanted to look at logical fallacies and have a little fun with them. Because one of the things that I see people doing on the internet is they feel like if they're the first person to notice a logical fallacy, somehow they've won. Somehow they've completely invalidated your argument.
Straw man,
at home!
Those are my favorite, I won't lie.
God, yeah. Well, the problem is that people use this as a cop-out. They use it as an excuse, and they abuse these logical fallacies for the sake of making some kind of point. And I know that Twitter is garbage. I know Facebook is just fucking utter garbage. I know Instagram is garbage, and that's fine.
Well, but Instagram still wins because boobs.
Yeah, because boobs.
I mean, the boobs tried to come to Twitter, but it didn't work. It died off real quick.
See, the problem was they took all the porn off Tumblr.
Yeah, they should have left Tumblr alone. I mean, seriously. Some things are sacred.
I guess the weirdest thing about Tumblr was I didn't realize how many 30-year-old white women were actually watching porn via GIF loops.
Hell yes.
I totally don't get that.
And how many of them got called out when they started introducing sound into the GIFs? That was the greatest thing.
I don't really have like a head for porn. I don't really get it because
There was an article I saw the other day, a lady who lost her job because she was, she was having an argument with her boyfriend. She was in the restroom doing her business.
Okay.
And she said, no, I just sent that dude the thing. And he goes, no, you didn't. And she screenshotted it. Well, when she screenshotted it, it made the camera sound. And there were two other chatty bitches in the bathroom who both went, and immediately ran to management and said, she's in the bathroom taking pictures. And I'm like, you know, where is the counter argument of, how do you two bitches know what that click noise means? No, that was clearly the iPhone picture taking sound. I recognize that. And it was obviously at a level of below waist level because I know what that sounds like too. But yeah, the fact of the matter is that middle-aged women are probably the biggest part of that entire scene online because let's face it, they're the stock in trade.
Oh?
Well, I mean, here's the thing, right? What do you need for a fetish or any kind of sexual community to exist online? You need more of one than you have of the other.
Okay.
Without a steady stock of fresh women, all of those things fall apart.
Okay. What you're saying is all that porn comes from somewhere.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So when the guys are looking out on Tumblr is being made by these women that are watching the GIF loops on Tumblr. Oh, it just got me a little exacerbated.
I declare I'm steamed. It might make me perspire.
I wonder if my heels can get behind my head like that. I'm going to need a selfie stick.
That I can hold with my toes?
What? No, they have them with football mouthpieces on the end. I'm making that up.
Thank God.
Well, now, according to the rule, I'm probably not making it up. I'm just thinking I'm making it up.
What is it, rule 36?
43.
Yeah.
43 or 34, I don't remember.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's rule 34. If you can conceive it, some of it exists on the internet, yeah.
Yeah, gotta love it. God bless America.
All bullshit aside, I bet that fucking selfie stick that like attached to a gag ball would sell to someone.
Oh, I have no doubt, dude. They make I'm ashamed that I know this. I'm going to tell you right off the bat that I'm ashamed that I know this.
But I'm ashamed if you are.
I'm not going to pretend that someone told me about it. They make an attachment for the fleshlight that holds your iPad.
What?
Yeah. It's an iPad holder that gets mounted on your fleshlight.
Okay.
Which also comes with the suction cup so you can stick it to the wall of the shower.
How are y'all getting masturbating wrong? How is that a thing?
Dude, I'm just like, you know how much money you spent on that iPad? Quit that shit. Put some saran wrap on it or something.
You put a saran wrap on it, though. I don't know if it reads your finger gestures.
Why does Daddy store his iPhone in a box of rice when it hasn't been in the water?
Because he likes Asian girls.
And why won't he let us eat that rice? Hey, at least Dad doesn't let you eat that rice. You don't want to ask your mother how many cucumbers you've eaten.
Or even worse, holy fuck, cucumbers and rice for dinner again? How much of this shit are we going through? Oh, God.
It's been a long 2 weeks, folks.
It has been a very long 2 weeks. You know, I'm just saying, you would have thought that with everybody in lockdown, people's masturbation game would be strong. But no, apparently that's not the case.
Oh, no, I would argue that it's probably gotten a lot stronger. The difference is that anybody who doesn't do it the way you do is a weirdo.
Yes,
it's almost universally true. It's kind of like being on the highway, right? Anyone going faster than you is a maniac. Anyone going slower than you is an asshole. Same thing with masturbation. What the hell? That guy's got a 60-ton bottle of fucking lotion and, you know, some Kleenex. You're a grown-ass man. Get a towel. Get a towel. Who in the hell is trying to clean up with Kleenex?
What I do is I make the Spock hand and I call it the curling iron.
Nice. Nice. Well, see, I wait for my carpal tunnel to kick in, so these two digits are numb anyway. So it's kind of like a 30-30 stranger, right?
I know most of you.
We're adding a couple of friends to holy shit, did we just derail into a 10-minute masturbatory?
Oh, that's 7.5.
7.5. Oh, shit, we got another minute and a half. Fuck it.
Well, this is one of the things that, you know, like I've noticed that like other podcasts will do, and we don't really do that. You know, most other podcasts, you know, will do that first 10 minutes of kind of intro and get loose.
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, how's your week been? Yeah. Well, you know, it's been kind of a shitty week, man, but then I realized that they're putting out the new Return of the Jedi movie, and I got a semi-chub, and now all's well.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas we don't do that. We hit you with the bid, and then we just kind of jump and haul ass into it.
Well, here's the deal. If you give a shit about how our week's going, you probably know because we've bitched about it on Twitter. So, you know, we just get to the magic.
We just get to the magic. Is that what this is?
I refuse to call it anything else.
Sorcery is probably a closer word.
Necromancy.
It's hard to raise a family. Not if they're all buried close together. Hey.
Hey, if you raise enough of them, you can overturn the vote.
Holy shit. Something in my Twitter feed.
Yeah, I saw it. The one that was talking about, yeah, if you raise a couple thousand more, you actually get what you want.
No. Guys, said so many zombies voted for Biden in Michigan that he's going to learn the Thriller dance to blend in. Because he doesn't have to outdance them. He just has to outdance you.
Exactly. See, fucking... I'm more a fan of the whole Shaun of the Dead bit where you just kind of look like you had a stroke and go, Yeah, that's it, Mom. You're doing great. What are we doing again?
Shaun of the Dead is the single best film about growing up I've ever seen.
Yes, I agree with you.
And it's done as a zombie movie, except whenever I say, no, it's not a movie about zombies. It's about, you know, growing up and being an adult. And then again, you look at me like I'm an idiot.
And this is the Twinkie thing. Dogs can look up.
And dogs can look up.
Between Dogs Can Look Up, Don't Throw That Album, and Kill the Queen. Those are my three favorite scenes out of that whole entire movie. Kill the Queen. What? The jukebox!
Dude, one of these days, I'm going to figure out which one of us is Simon Pegg and which one of us is Nick Frost.
Ooh, see, that's... Yeah, see, I have... Well, you know what? You're catching up with me. I was going to say I have the Nick Frost physique, but you're catching up with me.
I'll get there.
What was it? What was it we said to that woman at the pub the other night? She said, "Who's funnier?" And I said, "I'm more funny intentionally, and he's more funny unintentionally." And she took that to mean that I practiced my jokes and like had bits written. I have another drink, sweetheart.
Well, no, because that lady, she's real nice. She's up there all the time. And she keeps after me because, you know, sometimes I'll try out new jokes on her.
Right.
Because she thinks I'm funny.
Yeah, because she likes dad jokes, among other dad things.
Well, again, it is what it is. But no, she was the first person that I tried that ramen soup joke out. And
you got to tell it to the show now.
Okay. I'm sorry. I thought I told that joke on the show before.
If you did, I killed it. I blotted it out of my memory. For our new listener.
For our new listener. Well, no. So I'm down there and I'm talking to this young lady, and we'll just call her Stripes. Right. And
that'll work.
And she's selling me on this idea that because she used to have this smashing pair of striped pants that she was really fond of, and then she ripped them at pub one day.
And like you do.
And then mourned those pants for like 2 weeks.
Viking funeral out back.
But no, she's, and I'd written this terrible joke, but I thought it was just underneath the radar enough that I could get away with it. And the joke goes like this. The joke says, "Yes, I like ramen, but I really like authentic ramen. I want ramen so authentic that it has to be microwaved twice," which of course is a horrible, because ramen is a Japanese soup, that is a very horrible, horrible play on the fact that Japan got bombed atomically and nuclear irradiated
and
twice.
And if you have to explain the joke, you're telling it in the wrong venue.
Well, I know, because she thought that, Stripes thought that joke was funny, right? But I went and I actually tried telling that joke to other people at pub that night.
Right.
Fucking crickets and tumbleweed, dude. Not groan. Groan means you got it and didn't like it. I'm talking like just bare blinking eyeballs, dude.
Oh, okay, well, that's... Yeah. Well, you get it because it's Japanese. Uh-huh. What happened twice to Japan? They popularized really shitty music. I don't know, dude. What? What happened to Japan? I'm more of a Korea fan.
I like K-pop. No, stop. You're missing the joke. It's going right by you.
You don't even understand the words. I know, but it sounds good. But you realize they're just saying, "You dumb bitch, buy it. You dumb bitch, buy it. You dumb bitch, buy it."
Well, anyway, Stripes, if this is the first episode of the podcast that you're listening to, hi and welcome to the show. Anyway, let's get on with it. We've only got 47 minutes left. Okay, so let's start off with one of the most popular logical fallacies that you're going to see on Twitter is ad hominem.
You're a fuckface.
Yeah, you're a fuckface.
Your mother dresses you funny. Your father reeks of elderberry.
Yeah, you're a complete fucking knee biter. Whatever it is, right? Or you'll also see a slight variation of this called tu quoque. Right, which is where you accuse someone of being guilty of the thing they're talking about.
Yeah.
Right, like it's some kind of hypocrisy.
Well, of course he's in it for those bastards. He's one of those bastards.
Well, yeah, but he's talking about the things those bastards do. Right, for example, I wouldn't listen to him. He's a fucking car thief. Yeah, but he's talking about stealing cars.
He's telling you how to make your car less.
He's
less car theft.
Oh, you can't believe that guy. He's a fucking hacker. Well, yeah, but he's actually speaking about hacking in this context, so maybe.
He's a pervert, dude. Pedophile. When he first moved to town, he had to go house to house and tell everybody.
Pederast.
Fucking pervert.
But no, but even in that, what you're doing is you're kind of exposing this person's flaws, but that doesn't always necessarily invalidate them, okay?
Nor does it support your argument.
Well, exactly, right?
unless your argument was the guy is one of those things.
Saying that Richard Nixon, or you know, even one of our more recent presidents, was a crook doesn't necessarily invalidate the fact that his presidency was pretty low key.
Right.
I mean, you know, that he had, you know, there were some problems in Vietnam and things like that. Yeah, but
went a little bell shaped at the end there, but
yeah. Well, because he hired somebody to break into a hotel. This is what they did before there was hacking. But JFK, generally well-regarded as a president, even though there's very little evidence to support that, but a notorious fucking womanizer.
Right.
And, I wouldn't cheat on Jacqueline Onassis, or Jacqueline Kennedy back then. I wouldn't cheat. I'd go home and do my homework. That's...
Go home and do the homework, but I'd still stay after class for Marilyn Monroe.
But, fair enough. Joe DiMaggio rule, right?
I mean, just I gotta go. Hey, I gotta get back to the house. Jackie's waiting on me. One more.
You have fucked for me all the fluid in my body. There's nothing left for Jackie. But you know, the point is that even bad people, terrible people, horrible people may actually be good at something.
Or they may accidentally be right. Even if they're accidentally right, they're still right.
And that's kind of the deal. So whenever you watch these ad hominem attacks, make sure that you're looking out for that. Linus Torvalds is apparently some sort of... Linus Torvalds will not be alone in a room with a woman because he's afraid of sexual assault allegations.
Yeah, well...
Or sexual impropriety.
Like, he's like a three-quarter Mike Pence.
Yeah, well, yeah, and Mike Pence, no, I ain't going out with that woman.
Right. You want me to travel in a car with a woman by myself?
Who is not my wife? No.
Mother needs to come.
Yeah, mother needs to... Okay, calling her mother is weird.
No, I agree, but still.
That's a very Northeast Coast thing, though, man. That's, I mean, not like New York East Coast. I mean, like Vermont, New Hampshire. Yeah.
So mother! That,
why? But at although that's weird, down here, we do the same thing in the South. Go ask your mom.
Mommy.
Go ask mom. Go ask mom. Go ask mom. And so we'll refer to them like that, but we don't go ask your mother. Go ask mother. What does mother say? No, we don't do that. But we do say go ask your mama.
Yeah, we do.
Go ask mama. But no, that's the thing is that just because you are pointing out some, you know, despicable part of that person doesn't necessarily invalidate them or validate them either way. And that's what you kind of need to to look at here. Like, for example, if some famous politician is telling you about political corruption, if he knows what he's talking about, that's not really a good sign, but it's better that you know it than you don't.
Right. No, I mean, that's the thing. You want to learn the things that you can learn from the best possible source.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to learn some despicable shit,
you have to kind of deal with despicable
people. If you're going to go talk to a nice professor, he might get you halfway there.
Yeah.
But if you want to really learn the despicable shit, you're going to have to go talk to the despicable people that do said despicable shit.
Fucking A.
You cannot out-argue them about their stock and trade.
Right. Well, yes. So now let's go ahead and take a look at one of the other ones that's real popular. And I see this one get thrown around a lot on Twitter. Strawman.
Right behind my favorite, it is what it is. Bullshit. No. Everything is what it is. What you are is a moron.
Dude, that's the identitive property. A equals A, B equals B. It is what it is.
Yeah.
You saying that does not help anything.
No, it doesn't do a damn thing. It is what it is. No shit, Sherlock. Really? No, I thought it is what it was. It's the Uncola.
It's the Uncola. But no, straw man, a lot of times, sometimes when we have discussions, we'll say somebody asserts something, and then we go ahead and we try to think of an example that's similar to that, or think of a way that example might be put into practice.
Right. Yeah, you 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon that shit.
Well, you don't even have to do 6 degrees, just one or two, right? And you have this hypothetical idea of what they're asserting, right? And you're saying, so is it like, no, that's not what I said. You're strawmanning. No, wait, dude, I'm just trying to understand.
Well, and let me finish the goddamn sentence before you jump on me.
At the same time, you know, whenever somebody says, well, no, I absolutely support, you know, socialism or communism, whatever it is, and so you're okay with redistributing wealth? That's not what I said. That's a straw man. No, wait, that's kind of how that works.
That's offering the definition of what you just identified as.
Exactly. But you'll see people kind of, you know, you'll also hear it kind of called Mott and Bailey. But no, you'll see people strictly adhere to only the actual very specific words that they said without any recognition of the cognition
right.
and association that goes with it. And then they will attempt to sit there and hide behind the fact that, no, you're making a straw man. No, I'm not. I'm trying to understand here, dude. And either you're really shit at explaining or right. I'm really shit at understanding.
Or, yeah, you don't understand what that thing you identify with means.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is probably a larger problem. So now I'm going to throw out the straight ad-hom and say, you're a dipshit and walk away.
That's not helping.
No, and that's kind of the... If I'm calling you a dipshit, not as an attack on your position, mm-hmm. just as an observation,
right?
That's perfectly valid.
Oh, is that perfectly valid? Now, saying you're a dipshit is different than saying you're wrong because you're a dipshit.
Well, yeah. I'm not stating whether you're right or wrong. I'm just pointing out that you're a dipshit. Dipshits get broken clocks twice a day, right?
Am I wrong? No, Walter, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
You're just an asshole.
Exactly.
And incidentally, folks, he's actually wearing that t-shirt right now.
Shit, I didn't even realize that. Didn't even realize that. You mean the walrus? Not the walrus, Donnie.
Shut up, Donnie.
You're out of your element.
All right. So this is, you'll see this one come up a lot in this one. The next one we want to look at is appeal to ignorance. Right, which is really just a citation of a problem, but it gets really perverted and twisted around, right? For example, the appeal to ignorance saying, well, we don't know that blah. We don't know that unicorns aren't real. We don't know that God exists or doesn't exist because right. it's insufficiently proven. And it's not that that's necessarily wrong, but that's sort of aside from the point.
Well, it's a sidestep of the argument. It's a sidestep of, you're not defending your position. You're basically just applying a blanket and walking away.
Well, and sometimes that is, if you spent your life disproving things, you would get very little done.
Right.
Right? Even though that's a big part of what science does. No, dude, you're an asshole. That's wrong. No, dude, you're an asshole. That's wrong. But one of the great explanations I heard is, somebody said, I don't believe in God for the same reason I don't believe that my home is filled with 100 tiny invisible cats.
Okay.
He's like, you know what? My home may very well be infested with invisible cats, but I can neither see them, hear them, smell them. They don't appear to have any effect right. on me or my life.
Exactly. So therefore, it doesn't exist in my scope of reference.
So functionally, it's right. just the same as there being no invisible cats.
Right.
And that was actually a pretty convenient and lucid way to explain away his atheism, right? Folks,
the not explain away, explain.
Wait, explain, okay.
Right.
But yeah, no, it's, folks, I'm not telling you should be atheist. I'm saying that
Oh, fuck it, I'll tell you should be atheist. Come on over.
That kind of appeal to ignorance argument, what that's doing, that isn't shutting you down. That's citing a problem. We don't have enough proof on this one way or another, so you have to find another way around it. Some things, like the existence of God or invisible cats or whatever, some things are never going to be proven. Science oftentimes has very clear metrics and measurables, whereas philosophy often, and theology, of course, often doesn't.
Right.
So you kind of have to get past that, right?
Well, and I mean, a lot of times, even the proof of the negative it is no relation to the actual argument.
Right.
Well, you could no more prove this than you could prove blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, I'm not trying to prove blah, blah, blah.
Right.
This is what I'm going after. And in this case, you're trying to apply faith,
right,
blind faith, in something that doesn't require it. I can, look, here's the
answer. Yeah, you don't have to have faith in this. This is how this works.
Yeah, it's not going to rain today. I have faith. Okay, well, you see that? That's a cold front. See that? This is a stationary front. But these two things get together, it's a really fucking high likelihood, bro, that it's going to rain today. Well, is it 100%? I know I hesitate to say 100%. Well, there, see, you're just, it's based on faith.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's fucking chance.
So, and again, that's another part of the appeal to ignorance, is that you don't have to be 100% proven out solid to be able to know, rely, and stand on something.
Right. Right, and you don't have to prove that you're right when you're trying to tear someone down.
Right.
If they're not 100% right, they're wrong. If you're only 2% right, you're right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and we see this a lot, especially on, one of the things that you'll see people do on Twitter is you'll see them citation flood. God. You know, or link flood.
Yeah.
Where they'll just, you know, sit there and go, no, I saw this on InfoWars, and I saw this on,
this on Breitbart.
And I saw this on The Onion or whatever. And you're like, whoa, wait.
My favorite pseudo-intellectual pushed this out as...
And here's my Vox article, and here's my Vulture article, and here's my HuffPo, and anything else I can find on the internet for free.
Right. Yeah, anything that's not behind a paywall, I will throw that at you.
Exactly. Exactly. And in doing that, that doesn't actually make anything better, because what you're doing is you're literally going to the most poorly funded and probably most poorly educated journalists from BuzzFeed or whatever.
Well, and half the people from those sites aren't journalists.
They're up jump bloggers, dude.
Well, and some of them aren't even that. I mean, a lot of those places, they advertise in the same place that short story journals and, you know, medium format story sites go to. And they'll throw it up. We pay X a word. That's how you get all those. Remember her? See what she looks like now. And it's just 700 paragraphs accompanied by a picture. And, I mean, if you tried to copy and paste them into Word, fucking Clippy would appear and cut his throat. Because they're written so poorly. That's how all those sites get their content.
Dude, Clippy hanging himself is the funniest goddamn image in my head.
I'm telling you, dude. But, and what's funny is I go to a lot of the... amateur author sites, right? Yeah. And the number of people that don't speak English as even a second or third language who taught themselves to write in English by doing those articles.
Yeah.
They no concept of the English language. It comes through in the articles. And over a period of 2 or 3 years, they just write a shit ton of them. And then they read all the comments. And they adjust their writing based on the comments. I mean, hey, good on you. You're getting paid instead of paying somebody, but you're putting a lot of cruft out there.
Many days no crop grow in my field because president has breath of dragon and murders. No, dude. No. I don't even know what that means. Why did you write this? Because I am not the editor. You are.
Well, what was the one that I brought in the one time? Go gently into the curves for the mud demon. The motorcycle manual from hell.
Do not bang the firebox at the horse.
Yeah, exactly. Do not taunt Happy Fun Ball.
But no, you could iteratively, in theory, you could iteratively learn a language like that.
Of course, yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of people in the 80s and beyond were citing American media for how they learned English, right? Mm-hmm. Now, since more and more of the media is consumed online,
mm-hmm.
it's not uncommon that you would have people go, well, wait, so I can sit here all day for nothing and read this stuff. But if I really want some practical application, these assholes over here pay me 2 cents a word to crank out articles about fucking Sean Penn.
And there's some poor kid in Thailand who's got like a secondhand laptop going, fuck it, if I get it wrong, the editor will let me know.
I'm sorry, mother, I know the water buffalo needs to be brought in, but I owe BuzzFeed 600 words on Anne Hathaway's snatch showing during the... Yeah, it's just, it's a weird old world, dude.
It is. And the internet has really, really weird effects on things. So one of the next ones we have to do is false dichotomy, right? People will call a false dichotomy on thing, and there are legitimate times to do that. But really what you're seeing a lot with false dichotomy is you're seeing a starting point. It is pretty normal human behavior, especially when we begin to understand something or begin to try to understand something, to break it out into a binary solution set. It's either this or that. Mm-hmm. It's either Republican or Democrat. It's nuance either science is few or and art.
Far between. Nuance ceases to exist.
Exactly. But that's where you start, right? And then once you kind of, even for example in politics, as you know, it starts, well, you know, it's red versus blue, right? Which was also a great little machinima thing on the internet. But you get into it, and you realize there's a lot of subtlety to it. There's a lot more than just those two parties. There's a lot of nucleated factions even within those parties. So you begin to kind of see it, but until you begin starting with that, you never really can drill down into that other shit and find that subtlety and that nuance.
Right, but even if you're exposed to that subtlety and nuance and you understand it, it's not uncommon, especially in times of great stress, like when you're being dogpiled on Twitter,
right?
To fall back to that black and white kind of thing. Well, it's this or it's this.
Well, and the simple fact of the matter is that, first of all, if I say, God damn it, you're a filthy, dirty hippie, odds are you have some environmental concerns that might lead you to ally yourself with one party or another. Okay? So what happens is, especially under pressure or heat, people, you're right, they will retreat to that, or they will attempt to do to polarize that in one way or another for the sake of drawing people who will know when they're called.
Right.
You may not be calling them specifically, but you'll know when you're called.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Oh, well, of course you think that, libtard.
Yeah, exactly.
Get the libtard!
Get the libtard! Burn the witch!
And then people you've never met, people that would step over your desiccated corpse if you were to fall down dead in front of them, will then rush to your aid because you used their bat signal.
You used their bat signal.
Wait, a conservative needs us.
I don't want to see conservative Batman. He's not really interested in justice. He's interested in let the market sort itself out.
Batman, aren't you going to stop Two-Face? Well, you know, at the end of the day, Two-Face is a really good analogy for the way our free market system... Yeah, we don't need that.
Two-Face is really fine gentleman on both sides. We are not a political show. We're not doing this again.
You know, when I think about Two-Face, it really boils down to one question. Do you want to bag Drew Barrymore or Debbie Mazar? And you know what? I'm going to have to go with Debbie Mazar.
I'm with you, dude.
Going to have to go.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Not for nothing. I'd throw a shot at Drew Barrymore back then before the Leno chin developed.
The Leno chin?
Dude, go take a look at a side view picture of Drew Barrymore.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Bitch got a chin like an aircraft carrier.
No shit.
Yeah, just woof, boom.
Okay. Like Army of Darkness big?
Like poking your sack big.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds unpleasant and uncomfortable.
It doesn't sound good. Yeah. I mean, not for nothing, I'd still try it.
You never know. She might be a generous, delicate, and considerate lover with that chin.
Sometimes there's a bit of a pinch, so you have to adjust the angle of approach. These are problems that can be sorted.
And you know what she's thinking? She's using guy logic on you. My chin's not too big. You need smaller thighs.
Well, you know, maybe if something was a little bit bigger, you wouldn't have my chin rubbing up against it. And the fact that I'm saying this to you with you in my mouth proves my point.
I feel like I'm...
Q-E-D.
I feel like I'm looking at the last 2 centimeters of a Vienna sausage.
Does anyone got a roach clip?
That's why you tune in, folks. You tune in for this.
Shit. It has really been a long 2 weeks.
So, Andrew, let's talk about slippery slope.
That's the perfect segue into slippery
slope. It is a perfect segue into slippery slope. Because a lot of times people will accuse you of making slippery slope arguments, when really what you're doing is you're just trying to look at what you feel are logical and reasonable conclusions.
Right. Yeah, let's take this out to its inevitable end, right? Well, let's follow this along.
Let's just try to see the next step.
Allow me to extrapolate.
And that's kind of the deal there. And when I was thinking this up, when I was pre-writing the show, for the little bit of pre-writing that we actually did.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's like 12 syllables on that board.
I came up with this. The idea is, does it plausibly lead to the next step, right? So I started thinking to myself, well, you know what? If I were to say, if you'll suck one cock, you'll suck 10,000 cocks, right? That's probably not true.
That's probably not. I mean, just the time alone.
Just the time alone that it would take a woman to work through blowing 10,000 cocks, dude. I mean, unless you have them like lined up like horns in front of a seal. And even then, that's going to take some time.
At the same time?
At the...
Or no, what was it? In a row?
Yeah.
It was the whole Clark's joke. My girlfriend sucked 37 dicks. In a row?
In a row? That's what that was.
Try not to suck any dick when you cross the parking lot. Hey, you, get back here.
So I don't think it's necessarily true that if you suck one sock, you'll suck 10,000. But if you'll suck one cock, you'll probably suck two. Or you'll at least suck the same cock twice.
So it's the gentlemanly thing to do.
again, as I sit here and I consider this, I imagine that applies to homosexuals as well.
Well, one would have to hope.
Because I'm pretty sure whether you're a gay guy or a straight guy, you have never said, no, no, you've sucked my penis once,
and I think that's funny. Yeah. One and done.
One and done.
All of a sudden, I'm back at St. Teresa's. What is this bullshit? I bought Red Lobster.
No, Gladys, don't put your face down there. We're only doing that once, and I'm saving it for our 50th anniversary.
Oh, God.
Oh, shit.
The world has become Gattaca. You only get one in your entire existence.
Gattaca. Gattaca was such a good film, dude.
It's a great idea. I don't know if I loved the movie, but it was a great idea for a story, for sure.
If they remade Gattaca, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, but could they put Jude Law in it again?
Was Jude Law in it last time?
Yeah, given the cancellation of Jude Law.
Jude Law got canceled?
Oh, yeah.
Why did he get canceled?
Jude Law is apparently a horrible human being. I don't remember all these specific details, but there were a lot of details.
Okay, fuck that guy.
Because what was it? It was Jude Law and Ethan Hawke.
Okay.
And Ethan Hawke, by all accounts, I think Ethan Hawke's been married to the same chick for like 40 years.
Oh, God bless him.
He's one of those Hollywood guys.
And Daybreakers was awesome.
But a lot of things that he was in were awesome. But I think to do that movie again today, it would be taken in a completely different connotation now.
Yeah.
Than it was, right? Because, you have all the people that would be looking at all the social justice aspects of it. And then you have the two or three guys in the background who watch the league who would just be running around screaming, Gattaca!
Gattaca! And that one confused motherfucker screaming Gattaca while, like, rattling a tin cup across bars.
Yeah, because they did that in the league. Did he just scream Gattaca? They were playing paintball, and he went to fucking berserk mode, and he's shooting the gun up there screaming, Gattaca! I don't think he knows what he's saying right now. Oh, shit.
So one of the others that that we'll talk about is circular logic. And it's not that people are necessarily guilty of circular logic. It's that sometimes words need definitions. So, it will appear to be circular logic, and oftentimes it will. You know, much like you're saying, it is what it is. That's kind of, that's very tautological, right? But saying that if A equals B, then B equals A, that's not that crazy. For example, if I say illegal aliens are breaking the law whenever they cross the border, that is a very circular argument.
Illegal aliens are illegal.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the thing.
Well, yes, but, as a country, we have kind of put forth and projected this image that we, the whole welcoming your huddled mass, they're illegal. No, I understand exactly what you're saying, but what we're talking about is a larger problem than just whether it's legal or illegal.
And a lot of times what you can do is to get away from that definition is just pivot the argument just a bit. Okay, I get it. They're illegal. What are you trying to say? Are you trying to say it's morally correct for us to persecute these people and send them back? Or are you trying to say that maybe a better moral argument or maybe a better moral stance would be to go ahead and take these people in and find a job for them and get them set up?
Right. Well, I mean, and by pointing out the fact that it's illegal, you're not really adding anything to the conversation, right? Right. If the discussion is, an argument about sanctuary cities, well, but it's illegal. No, understood. We understand that. Nobody here is disagreeing with it. Maybe what we're wondering is should it be illegal?
And that, a lot of times,
we can't get anywhere with this conversation if you are, it's illegal, full stop.
Yeah, if it's illegal, full stop, then you have already said your piece. And yeah, you know what?
You're done. Tap out.
Yeah.
Carry the fuck on.
Because you're right. It is illegal. But the question, the debate, the discussion, the argument comes up because what I'm obviously saying is that either it should or it should not be illegal. But, maybe I've phrased it wrong, right?
Well, but the self-awareness of the modern social media user these days does not allow them to go, well, hold on, perhaps I have not phrased this in the best way for you to understand what I'm talking about. The burden of controlling the flow of the conversation is no longer assumed by the person when they're just shouting 200 characters into the wind.
Right.
Oh, well, you took it the wrong way. I mean, how many times have you seen people that are pretty much on the same page start to go after each other for not quite picking up the context of what was said, right?
Oh, yeah.
I know I fall into it all the time because I will make a snarky comeback. Now, the language is snarky, but I'm actually agreeing with them. And, you know, I've seen really level-headed people, you know, go, well, hold on a goddamn minute. And it's like, no, hold on. You misunderstand. You didn't read it the way I typed it.
Right.
And that's, you know, we've talked about the shortcomings of that kind of communication several times.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And like you said, it's the limitations to 280 characters. What can you do? I mean, you literally can't handle every possible exception.
Well, but the thing is, you know, well, I can't be expected. I've got the T-shirt that's got the famous guy, was it Gene Kranz that said it? I can't remember. I can explain it to you, but I can't understand it for you.
Yeah.
And nobody really takes that in. You realize you just said this to the world, right? Well, no, I mean, there's like 12 guys on Twitter that follow me. Well, no, I understand that those 12 guys on Twitter were the ones that you were talking to. But you kind of said it in front of the world.
Yeah.
And it's out there for other people to pick up. And so the onus is on you to kind of control the context and make sure that what you're saying is clear. Well, no, I don't have any. I'm not a role model. It's not my job to figure out. You know, it's the same thing that the fucking president threw out a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I just put it out there. People can decide.
See? And I'm going to start just doing like the most absurd shit that I can. Like, I think I'll go out on Twitter tomorrow and just go, you know what? If you can slap the teeth out of a midget, they turn to gold before they hit the ground.
So I actually toyed with that idea. I spent like 6 months at the beginning of this year logging into Facebook every morning and putting in quotes. Not necessarily inspirational quotes or, you know, no specific theme to them other than just, hey, you know what? A couple of million people wake up every morning and they fill these boxes with just the most inane shit. And you know what? I'm going to try it. I'm going to make myself a quota. And I'm going to get at least one of these out every day, 6 days a week. You know, so one morning my timeline wakes up and they get a Marcus Aurelius quote. The next morning they wake up, they get a nice tea quote. Whatever struck me at the time, right? And immediately people started messaging me. What are you doing? What is this? What's the goal behind this? What is the purpose of this? There's no purpose.
Yeah.
It's just meaningless content that I've dripped onto the thing.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Well, I don't get it. Is it some kind of statement?
Nothing to get there.
There's absolutely nothing to get. I've seen 77 pictures of your dog. I needed something to cycle through. I needed a palate cleanser.
I've seen 77 pictures of your... What did that mean? What did that mean? What did all 77 pictures of that dog mean?
Well, no, I get that it means that you are very infatuated with your dog. You know what? Maybe this is just my very silent rebellion against seeing another fucking picture of your dog. Perhaps I'm hoping, you know, a fucking Warren Ellis quote will get you to think, do I really need to put another picture up? You know, I took a quote directly out of Cryptonomicon and posted it in there, and it changed your life. And you realized that no one needed to see your Springer fucking Spaniel first thing in the morning. Now I'm in my head trying to go, okay, do I know anybody that has a Springer Spaniel? Because now I'm worried that they're going to be like, hey.
Sorry, folks. We hate people who use social media, but we have absolutely nothing against Springer Spaniels.
Springer Spaniels are fine. Just don't show me any more pictures of them.
New drug on the street. It's called cat piss. Makes you crave peanut butter and slap white women. Sorry, you said iced tea cool. That's the first thing about the man.
Yeah. That was a great sight.
Okay, we also have to talk about hasty generalizations and oversimplification.
We don't do that, fuckface.
Well, no, it's all those fuckfaces that do that.
Exactly.
And that's kind of the problem. I know in my Twitter feed, I get a lot of, I get a lot from both sides of the aisle, and I really, really pride myself on keeping a very diverse set of voices in my Twitter feed. Some of them are very, very left-leaning. Some of them are fucking very, very hard right-leaning. Some of them are just absolute libertarian gibberish.
Right.
But
hey, bro, it's all cool, man. We just go with the flow. I'm just saying we got to replace the gold standard. That's all I'm saying.
No. I don't think these are not laid-back libertarians. These are for the laws, libertarians.
Dude, in my mind, all libertarians sound like a cross between Bernie Sanders and Matthew McConaughey.
You got to give it those rookie numbers. You got to get those numbers. And they will just post the most random shit. Some of it quite uplifting. Some of it's a dog playing in a water puddle. Other bits of it is just so bizarrely inane, and that's my favorite kind of concept. Right. If you can stretch a skunk's asshole out to 6 feet across, it starts to smell like strawberries. Okay, sure, fuck it, I guess it does. What? I don't even know what that means. It's like, what?
Why do I suddenly have half a chub and a desire to find a skunk?
I don't know. Are you that fond of strawberries?
I'm just saying, man, anything that you can stretch its asshole out 8 feet.
But my point is that, trust me, I don't care what a great archetype of your political mindset or ideology or even political party you think you are. I see from a certain distance a level of subtlety and infighting in your party, whatever you think that party is, and you can go ahead and assume it goes on the other side as well. So saying, no, all those people are like that, you're probably already wrong. Right? Or when you take an idea that people have been arguing about and debating about, you know, for literally years and years and years, and you try to reduce it down to a soundbite or half a tweet, you're probably getting it wrong. Right? If your big takeaway is that, you know, the problem with evolutionists is that they all hate Jesus, you may be missing something.
Right. Well, and then that's kind of the gateway, right? That leads you into some of the others, right? You can very quickly turn it into an ad hoc. Oh, well, no, that person's a chicken fucker, and we all know chicken fuckers are this, that, and the other.
God, I should have known that was coming.
Dude, I'm sorry. You can't talk about stretching a skunk's ass, and I'm not going to bring the chicken in.
I was going to have a sex with... I was going to have sex with a donut, but when I got there, she was already filled. Cream-filled Bavarian slut.
And this has been another episode of Dad Jocks. Dad Jokes, by the way. Dad Jocks. That would be a different segment.
Do not tell that joke to your children. Red herring, and we have to talk about this one a little bit, because I see this happen quite a bit on social media as well, where you'll be having a discussion about, say, item A, and then somebody will just throw item B in, just like seemingly, just some random will, you know, like show up and go, well, what about the elk? What?
The Leroy Jenkins of discourse.
Like, you'll be sitting there, and I don't know, you'll be talking about, like, the reasonable limits on carbon emissions or something like that. That'll make all the bubblegum taste flat. What?
Well, you know, we've been thinking about this, and you know, we really need to make the price on this product more comparable, and you know, what the market will bear. You realize there are children dying of hunger. Well, we're trying to make the product more affordable. Is that what you're getting at? They're dying, damn it! They're dying. There's flies on their face.
There's flies. Who the hell let all these flies in here?
Helen, what have we told you about not coming to these meetings without taking your pills?
And a lot of times it's because we don't see how things are related, right? For example, you know, one of the things that you'll hear from time to time is, why the hell are we trying to send people to the moon? We have people right here on Earth starving. Right. Those seem to be two completely unrelated problems, right? Until you get what people are saying is that, no, I don't want to spend money like that. I want to spend it helping hungry
people. That seems frivolous.
Yeah, that seems frivolous.
Well, yeah, but you don't understand. We're looking for the planet made of cheese.
Yeah, exactly. The moon is made of cheese. Don't you want these people to have cheese? You ever have government cheese? That shit sucks. I want moon cheese. Oh, God. But no, one of the great
examples. Oh, God, you just named this episode, dude.
What's that?
This episode's going to be Moon Cheese Kingdom.
Okay, fucking hell. I'm all about it. I'm all about it. But no, I was looking at, before the election, I was looking at, apparently the U.S. Postal Service had been having some problems with funding a few months ago.
They had been having some problems with funding, yes.
And, you know, which that's fine. But they were blaming Trump for the United States Postal Service funding troubles. right, and said that somehow that led to voter suppression. And I was, he's just doing this so he can stay in office. Wait, what the hell does the Postal Service have to do with the election?
So the Postal Service, the way I picked it up from social media, and understanding that I did no research on this whatsoever, the thing with Trump wanting to kill the post office started before the election. Now, yeah. the left will tell you that it was just foreshadowing for what he wanted to do.
Right.
Most people are claiming that it was related to his pure and absolute hatred of Jeff Bezos. and how Bezos should be funding the post office because he represents 70-80% of what it carries.
Well, the deal is that if you want to make life hard on Jeff Bezos, yeah, first of all, stop ordering shit from Amazon and stop shipping it through Amazon. You want to make life good for the post office? Find a way for them to encroach on that market.
Right.
Because let's face it, you buying shit on Amazon and then using the taxpayer dime. This is just like, you know, we were talking about Jeff Bezos and the road.
Right.
Amazon's delivering shit everywhere and really not paying the bill for the roads.
Right.
And they're shipping shit everywhere and not always paying the bill for the USPS.
Well, and the thing is, and they are paying the bill for the USPS. The difference is they're paying the same bill that we are. Right. Any other company that were, you know, had they shown up to the USPS and said, hey, by the way, we want to have no logistics whatsoever. We're just going to throw the boxes at you.
Yeah.
The post office would be like, well, fuck no. Well, Bezos just did it.
Yeah.
He just did it. He said, well, here's my address. Come pick this shit up.
Yeah. Come get it. But no, but people do a certain amount of, a certain amount of business on eBay. Right. Yeah, I'll ship it to you. Yeah, I'll ship it to you. Yeah. Yeah, I'll ship it to you. Yeah, I'll ship it to you. And there is a fee for that shipping and handling. But that fee is subsidized with tax money.
Right. Of course it is. Right.
So yeah, seeing how someone thinks that a failure to fund the USPS might lead to voter suppression because we didn't know it then, but some people saw it back then as a way to oppress mail-in ballots.
Right.
Right. If you don't keep the U.S. Postal Service open, how are people going to mail in their votes?
Right. Well, and strangely enough, when you're talking about, oh, they're going to send out hundreds of thousands of ballots, and the guy you put in charge goes, well, let's dismantle all those high-speed sorters.
Right.
So, I mean, you can claim lots of outside influences on the post office, but you can't deny the fact that there was also quite a lot of internal tinkering being done, right? I mean, let's face it. No one has ever looked at the post office and said, oh, my God, look at how magical and efficient the U.S. Postal Service is. I mean, there is no international, you know, picture stereotype of what a postal carrier is that doesn't include how much attention to detail and how punctual they are, right? I mean, we all know when you picture a postal worker in your head,
dude,
that's what you see, right, is clocks and clean trucks. You don't see pistols and bombs and shit.
We had gone to the post office, you and I. I mean, to the proper U.S. post office. That's over there, we'll say the next street over. And we were standing in line, you know, and it's just you and me, and there's no one else there. And, you know, we're standing at the, you know, you must stand behind this line because we're getting ready to go to lunch.
Get behind the line.
And that lady looked up at you from behind the post office counter and didn't say anything to you. And you're like, yeah, I need to mail this package. And you don't remember that lady looking at you going, I guess.
I don't remember it. I have no problem believing it because I've also had the where you have to show up and knock on the door to get your package. And literally knocking on that door for 5 minutes and listening to them behind the door. And then finally one of them goes, we'll be out in a minute. You know, looking at the watch, like, is it too early? It's 3:30 in the afternoon. I'm pretty sure that's not too early. But no, I mean, the thing is even amongst postal services, I assume there has to be some varying degree of efficacy, right? I'm sure there's out there somewhere there is a post office that is pristine. Tommy Lee Jones is in the back making sure that everything is packed well. You know, the alien with 12 arms is sorting shit, and it works like a charm. I don't think one of those exists in the city of Houston.
They don't. They don't. Oh, okay. So we also have to talk about the sunk cost fallacy, right? Because what some people...
Too late now. Too late now. Can't put the bullet back in the gun.
Well, yeah. And that's kind of the deal. Because a lot of that is just follow through, right? Oh, no, that's just sunk cost. You know, you can't get too attached to that. Well, and yeah, that's true, except for the fact that if you keep, and you'll even hear it in the South, you know, well, you know, you shit or get off the pot or fish or cut bait or whatever. Throwing good money after bad, yeah. And there are times to cut your losses, but you got to make sure about shit like that. Because that sunk cost thing, to a lot of us in the South, one of the other things we'll say in the South, half-assing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if y'all say that up not.
Which is a very polite way of the other way of saying it.
Right. One of the great examples, and I have to do this joke on air. I want to take the time now to congratulate drugs for winning the war on drugs.
Yes.
But we fought the war on drugs for years, and that sunk cost fallacy, that idea of, you know, we've always fought the war this way, and this is how we need to fight this war.
It's too late to turn back.
Well, and eventually they did decide to go ahead and cut bait on a lot of that. Fuck it. Oregon legalized, like,
shrooms,
everything.
They legalized hard drugs.
Well, and the funny thing is they're going to use their marijuana taxes, their marijuana tax revenue, to try to fund these other programs to treat the addiction that they just made legal.
To be fair, they're trying to treat opioid addiction.
Well, no, because they legalized
money from cannabis sales.
Because I want to say they legalized, or not legalized, but certainly turned the dial down on the criminalization of it for shit like meth and coke. I mean, things that we would normally consider harder drugs.
But now my understanding is they relaxed the law for application of those drugs in medical scenarios, is the way I understood it.
What's the medical scenario for meth?
Well, if a doctor prescribes meth to you, then that's a medical scenario.
The doctor is only going to prescribe meth to you if he fucking hates your dentist.
I went to high school with that guy. He has the nerve to call himself a doctor. Goddamn dentist.
Caught that dentist fucking my wife and you got 3 cavities. Smoke this meth. It's a weight loss wonder.
I mean, yeah, your teeth are going to be haggard as a motherfucker, but you'll be so skinny.
But you will be thin. You will be thin. And one of the ones that we have to get done is we have to get down to the appeal to authority fallacy. And the problem with this is that we have experts, and we should listen to experts to a certain extent. But you need to trust but verify, and you need to temper that a little bit.
Blind faith is bad.
And this is where you get, and I don't want to bash them too much because we bash them quite a bit on the show.
Are we going to Fauci bash?
Are we what?
Are we going to Fauci bash?
No, we're not going to Fauci bash.
Oh, okay.
What we will bash, though, is the I fucking love science people.
Fair enough. I'll take it.
Those people who have that dogmatic inclination toward that, right? No. Fuck those people. But what we're seeing now, especially, you know, as this virus has pretty much run through and has kind of run its course. I mean, it's finishing up in the Midwest right now. Is, you know, we're going to be pulled to say stupid shit like, oh, no, I believe the science on, you know, I believe the science on masks, for example.
Right.
And as
if the argument's over, right? That's the practical application of this.
Well, and that's the deal. And this is
drop the mic.
Without providing you with any reasonable white paper that's been done on it.
Right.
Without anything. I mean, you know, like I said, when I was running the virus numbers, I mean, it was clear and obvious that masks did not work nearly as well as they said they did. And if anything, they made the situation worse. Right? But people, no, I believe the science. That's not helping. But you should listen to experts. Well, yes, but how many experts are you listening to? Well, the majority of experts say, wait.
What majority? Which experts?
And why are you trying to bandwagon science?
Right.
Yeah, that's
nine,
not how
nine out of 10 pediatricians recommend. We understand that. Nine, yeah. Which nine?
And 4 out of 5 dentists agree the fifth one's a fucking idiot. That's going to always be the case.
4 out of 5 agree that guy should have never graduated and devalued their degree.
4 out of 5 heart surgeons agree that the fifth one graduated at the bottom of his fucking class.
2 out of 2 podcasters think you're a fucking idiot.
Okay, real quick, we got about a minute left. We need to talk about one more, right? It's kind of the opposite of ad hominem. It's this idea that you could appeal to pity, right? Look, you know, this...
Oh, the thin blue line argument.
Well, that's kind of something that we see.
Don't you support our troops?
I mean, you know, cops do have a very, very difficult job.
For the children.
But there's no conscription in the police force. Right. Okay?
And, last I checked, you motherfuckers applied for that job.
But yeah, no, that's another one we hear all the time. You know, we have to, come on, it's for the children. Those aren't my kids.
Well, if we can save just one child, it's worth it. Not to me. Not to me. Fuck that kid. It could be your kid. No, it couldn't.
Or when you're sitting there watching TV and it's that one-eyed shivering dog in the cage.
In the arms of the angel. Fuck Sarah McLachlan.
If you could just say, why does it only take 52 cents a day to feed a kid in Africa, but it takes $2 a day to feed a dog?
Well, you know, I'm just wondering why the kids in Africa didn't get the scale up. I mean, coffee's like $6 a fucking cup now. And since the 1970s, they said, for less than the price of a cup of coffee a day, you could support a small child. Bitch, a cup of coffee a day is $9 goddamn dollars. Give that kid a Trapper Keeper. He can keep his shit in it. And I don't mean that plain primary color Trapper Keeper. I mean the theme shit. Who's that? Lisa Frank shit? Lisa
Frank. Where's my fluorescent unicorn, motherfucker? Look.
Get in the goddamn markers that smell like fruit.
It will make everybody in this country hungry.
Is Sally Struthers still alive?
Oh, God, I don't know.
If Sally Struthers is still alive, we need to get her and we need to get Sarah McLachlan and we need to put them in one location.
Sally Struthers is not a small woman. I'm convinced that when she passes away, it'll be the like gravity will change? No, it'd be like when your car throws a fucking one of those lead weights off the wheel. Or she'll start going.
What? Something's not right. What do you mean? I don't know, man. You ever have that situation where all of a sudden it starts to feel too good? You're like, I think that condom might have broke. That's what that feels like. Like, holy shit, did this just get good?
Oh, my God. See, I went from fucking a balloon to standing in a shower with a flashlight.
In the arms of the angels.
In the arms of the angels. All right, that's an hour. And I hope that y'all enjoyed this episode. Like I said, it's normally we try to be a little more informative, but because
things get a little hairy and sometimes you just got to let loose.
Yeah, and we just kind of wanted to blow off a little steam and maybe take your mind off all the shit that's going on. And because let's face it, we're kind of in this weird spot right now. And I can't even, most days, I can't even tolerate looking at Twitter for more than about 5 minutes.
And, you know, one of the themes to this show is the fact that discourse can happen despite differences. I firmly believe that. The last couple of weeks and what I presume will be the near future, it's really hard to defend that assertion. You know, communication is tough right now. The echo chambers have never been bigger.
Right.
The battle lines are drawn and there's just a whole lot of shit going on. So, you know what? Cut loose. Have some fun. Turn off Twitter. Turn off the news. Turn off the news. Get it off your screen. You know, if you're one of those folks that's already jumped on the Georgia bandwagon, God bless you. Do your thing. But give yourself a couple hours a day. Do something else. Get out of it.
Again, if you want something else to do, write me a joke. Write me one fucking original joke that is at least a little less offensive than the ramen soup joke.
That won't be hard. That will not be hard. Aside from maybe some of the Michael J. Fox stuff we've come up with, I can't think of much that would be worse than the ramen joke.
That's just you trying to shake things up.
Exactly, exactly. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us this week. Tune in next week when we are going to do something we have not done for at least a season and a half. And we are going to say, fuck you, Movie Bob.
Oh, fuck Movie Bob.
It's time. Movie Bob has gotten way too comfortable with the silence coming out of the Two Smokes camp. It is time for us to mount an affront. We have to do it.
Okay.
All right, but
we run out of this cage until it blocks us.
We will be back next week. Until then, I'm still Thundersnow.
And I'm still the Wiggle Rat.
Peace.